This is RSVNB Update, episode 474, recorded Friday, July 18th, 2014. The Oat Keeper. Hello, everybody, and thank you for sitting in with us on RSVNB Update. Joining us this week is Lord Rickles.
Hey, guys.
Lord Rickles is from RSVNB Informer. I think you've been with us about a year now, so welcome to you. Glad to have you on the show for the first time.
Well, thanks so much for having me.
Yes, and of course, I was hoping Tricky would say something, but he's here as well.
Say something.
Yes. It's rather unfortunate that you had to run out in the middle of last week's show.
No. It wasn't by choice.
Yeah.
Well, I assumed incorrectly.
Everything should be all right this week, right?
Yeah. Assuming a plane doesn't fall out of the sky.
That kind of did happen yesterday. I don't know if you meant that or not, but I'll leave that up for you to decide.
Well, you do remember about last summer, we did have a little plane incident with SFO.
Yes, I remember that. I remember that too,
yeah.
Let's do this. Legacy came out. Woo! Are we wooting?
Yay.
Take that as a no. Shane, are you wooting?
Not particularly. I'm not... I mean, this release really wasn't that exciting, and it's not because of Legacy Mode or what Legacy Mode brings. It's just because we knew everything that was coming with this update, and it's just a move from the beta server to the live server, which we've been talking about pretty much every week since it came out, well, almost every week whenever there was a combat update. So, I mean... it doesn't feel like there's much different on the release version as there was in the beta. So, I don't know. You could take that as either good or bad, depending on if you find any little bugs. I know there's a list of bugs that's going to be fixed this coming Monday in Legacy Mode. So, chances are if you found something, it will be on that list. But...
Or they could have released it when it was ready.
Yeah, and I mean... Yeah. That's something I think that we talked about last week as well, is that, you know, it feels as though the Legacy Mode beta could have continued on for a bit longer and maybe refined some more areas of it, because quite honestly, what we see now looks an awful lot like what the first beta looked like. So, I mean, maybe it wasn't ready, maybe it is ready, I don't know. I mean, the sky is not falling and we're not seeing... cows flying around RuneScape or sudden death syndrome again. So, I mean, it can't have got that wrong, right?
Uh-huh.
And, I mean, Legacy Mode as it is in-game, it remains to be seen as to people who are using it will actually stick around and end up participating in the community for the long run. Just to run some stats by you guys... courtesy of Mod Pip's actual Twitter account this week. The day after it was released, he was citing stats that roughly around 35% of the membership base out there was using Legacy Mode. And this essentially means people who activated Legacy Mode and logged out with it active. So maybe not the people who, you know, just turned it on for a couple minutes and are just seeing what it looks like, or people who accidentally turned it on, that sort of thing. This is apparently an actual number of people that they feel are using it.
Was that on the first day, or?
This was on Tuesday, day after it was released.
Okay.
So
that's pretty good. I mean,
I don't know.
I'm
kind of
surprised. I'm surprised.
Yeah, me too. Though, I mean, we might be living in a bubble here of this community, because I know most of the RSBNB update community and RSBNB community in general does kind of feel as though, you know, we are the evolution of combat types. So we might just be living in a bubble here, and we're not exactly sure what exactly is going on. But, I mean, if this is what the stats say, then this is what the stats say, and we gotta go based on that. So, obviously, a right decision by Jagex to put this out, but the thing I need to ask pertaining to this, is this going to unite the RuneScape community again, bringing everyone under the banner of playing the same game and interacting with the same community?
Well, I guess we'll see in about a week, but was there an increase in amount of players coming in?
I don't know.
More than usual?
Well, I mean...
So, you know...
And that's the thing. We can't exactly gauge the success of this by 1 week stats. I mean, numbers might just be up because it's a beta that looks, or rather a release that looks like what the game used to look like. So people are enthused by that. But if they come in and they feel they've moved on, then maybe, you know, it's a matter of, you know, that these people aren't going to stick around. So I don't know. The number one hope I have of Legacy is that it's going to bring everyone back together under a banner of one RuneScape community that's not off playing various different aspects of games for it. So,
I mean, Jagex seemed like they were really trying really hard to push this and get the word out.
Mm-hmm. But, I mean, with that, it's like what I asked before, will it be enough? Are these people too far gone that they don't trust anything that Jagex says? And is this something that, I mean, people who are new coming into the game, it's worth investing in? So I think those are the questions we got to answer going forward. And, I mean, Lord Rickles, you weren't on last week's show to answer the first two. So will it be enough to pacify and bring these people back, who, you know, moved away from the game because of the combat system changes? And secondly, what about the people who are gone from RS and, you know, don't want to even look at something Jagex does? Will this bring those ones back?
Right. I mean, it's hard to say. I mean, if they had numbers about how many people that were on old school that came back and tried Legacy, that'd be nice to know. But there's not really any way of knowing. And, I mean, it's just really hard to say. Is it going to be enough? I can't see why. Me personally, I can't see any reason why, if you are gone, done with RuneScape, you would come back because they release this. People that have been gone years and years, I really don't think they're going to jump back in.
And, you know,
regardless of anything they did, it doesn't matter if they, you know, it doesn't matter. If they're not playing old school now, they have no reason to play the game anymore just because they've moved past it, I think.
Yeah, and though, you know, to kind of counter that point, one thing we always see is we always see people, you know, who have been a part of our community for a long time and took a break from the game and coming back eventually. So if they just moved on because of that reason, I could see this maybe being an enticing factor. But I don't think the people who were so militant about removing Evolution and Combat completely will end up coming back. But I don't know. Only time will tell. And I guess from this point, I'm going to ask you guys, have you used it yet? Now that it's actually in game.
Have I used Legacy in the game?
Yeah.
Well, you and I, Mike tried out Legacy mode with EOC and everything else, and in a way it was kind of verified with a little Twitter post that was posted about a day or two ago. The speed for Legacy is just the same speed as EOC. Whether you hate it or love it, that's what the data showed. It's very insignificant in the amount of time it takes you to kill stuff. Now, albeit, if you're fighting the root beast slayer beast, which you need to use special EOC abilities stop them from hurting you, then, you know, EOC is obviously better suited for them. But as a whole, for many monsters, Slayer monsters, it's insignificant. It was like a 1 second difference in between. It was like, that means nothing.
Yeah.
So Legacy is, you know, again, everyone who PKs kind of agrees EOC is the way to go because all the stuns and everything else. I don't think anyone's going PK is going to use Legacy. Legacy is really for the one who's, one, don't know about Revolution, or Revolution, and or simply even more lazier than that.
Or maybe the people who want to come back and use Legacy mode and just PvP like they did in the olden days. But anyways, how about you, Rickles? Did you get a chance to use it? Are you using it at all? Or
yeah, I flicked it on the other night, just for a couple minutes in Edgeville. I killed a couple guards up there. I mean, it was kind of creepy. Creepy having all the action bar and everything disappear. And I've just been so used to it, how it has been. And to have that all go away, it was kind of scary. But did it really feel like how it used to be years ago? It's kind of like with old school. You can't just take a snippet of time and lift it out and put it into the main game and expect it to feel like olden times. It's just not. It's impossible. You can get close, and they tried really hard. I'll give them that. But it's just, it's not possible.
And, you know, I think maybe this is where your Informer article comes in, about putting something away, even though you want to use it for purposes of nostalgia. So tell us a bit about that.
Yeah, I mean, I was a bit of a hypocrite because I'd always said, you know, people that want Legacy and want old school, they just need to let it go. And here I was, I've been playing this game for over 10 years, so I had all the history with Dragon Armor. And I love Dragon Armor up till a week ago, until I wrote my article and did my little experiment. I had Dragon Armor sitting in my bank. And so for the article, I sold off all my Dragon Armor to let it go. And I wrote about my experience with that. I went through all the 5 classic stages of grief and mourning and letting things go. And I finally accepted the fact that, you know, it's okay just to move on. And it feels like Jagex just don't get the message that, you know, those people are gone. And you need to focus on people that are here now and people that you can gain with all the innovations you put into this game.
Yeah, and I mean, that is completely the way I look at RS in general. I mean, ever since the announcement of RS3... my running slogan about RuneScape is that now is the best time to be playing RuneScape. And I'll reiterate the 3 bullet points right now. Again, 1, bots are gone. 2, impressive technology updates, specifically in the area of the new interfaces, and later on, maybe later this year, early next year, and a much improved graphical engine that can currently be previewed in HTML5. And 3, the combat system. For me, it revolutionized combat in that it's not a boring chore where maybe at where I am right now in terms of level, I actually want to go do Slayer. So that is where that saying comes in for me, as that, you know, now is the best time to be playing RuneScape. But I don't think people can see it that way because, for a number of reasons. I mean, first things first, I think it becomes is that, you know, I understand what it takes to create a game and the amount of work that goes into programming something. Secondly is I've been around for so long, just like you guys, where, I mean, you've seen these things happen. And the general thing of the RS community, you know, you might want to quote this for an end of the year show or something, but it's the more things change, the more they stay the same. Would you guys agree on that?
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I mean, I would, for sure. You know, and it really depends on, as you're speaking, it depends on the player type. You know, for us that are, you know, we're more well-rounded than people that were just BKers or just player or monster killers. You know, we have a more wider range of things that we use the action bar for. We don't just use it for fighting and all these abilities. You know, we appreciate the innovation that all the things that they released with EOC brought to us. Whereas somebody that, you know, just PK'd or just, you know, loved throwing something out there, Soul Wars, they can't appreciate just because they don't have the same functionality that we do with the action bar.
Yeah, and I mean, not to paint everyone with the same brush, but I think there is a general feeling of, I want to say, mistrust or maybe miscontent. I don't know how to characterize it towards Jagex as a whole. It's like there's two groups of players in regards of dealing with updates. There's the group who, you know, are willing to accept things and try them out and adapt their gameplay styles. Uncle Dano is one of those. You're one of those, Rickles, as well. And then you got the other side as well that has a problem with RuneScape in that things that get changed need to immediately be changed back. Or there are things that are currently wrong with the game that need to be changed. So they're not happy with the current state of the game, but they want to go back to an old state of the game as well, which, I mean, this is kind of the same oxymoron that we see in terms of labeling of political parties in the real world. Now, I'm just going to give you guys a bit of a political science theory here, not being partisan or anything.
Enjoy.
But the idea that of labeling a political party as conservative or liberal is entirely dependent. By nature, an incumbent party in a political system is conservative because they are not wanting to see changes that the other parties are. Whereas everybody who is out of power wants changes. Therefore, you can classify them as liberal. So I think that same sort of idea applies to this RuneScape population I was talking about, where they want to be both of those at the same time, but it's kind of an oxymoron.
Right. You can never be black and white.
Mm-hmm.
There's always all the gray in between.
So, I mean, just from that, I think that, I mean, like we said, it's a nice olive branch they're extending in order to get people to play the game, but I just don't know that if the RuneScape community is going to be able to accept it. And like I said, we're going to need to have a look at this and, I mean, see what is going on 6 months down the road with Legacy Mode. It would be nice to get some numbers on that, and it's unfortunate we can't see what is logged in. Now, I'm going to go to something else that you mentioned in pre-show, Rickles, pertaining to the in-game worlds. You mentioned that there were 6 Legacy-only worlds and only 2 EOC-only worlds.
Oh, there's 8 new Legacy worlds, Legacy-only worlds. There's 2 Peking ones. They have, I believe, 2 monster PVM ones. They have 2 for mini games. So, and the 2 just, I think, just general purpose worlds. So, those are 8 new worlds that only Legacy people will be using. And if the goal was to bring everybody together and say, hey, kumbaya, we're all friends, we can all play this game however you want, that kind of defeats the purpose of making just Legacy worlds. I can't understand it.
See, what I would have done is I would have made this a lot simpler in terms of assigning worlds. I would have done 2 Legacy-only worlds and 2 Evolution Combat-only worlds and have the rest mixed. And here's the reason why.
Right.
PvP. 1 members-only world for Legacy and 1 members-only world for EOC. 1 free-to-play EOC and 1 free-to-play Legacy. I think that's all we should have seen for splitting up the community like that.
Yeah, because it defeats the purpose. It defeats what all this time and effort was put in was about. It defeats the purpose.
So, I mean, as much as we want to see the community come together, this is really a counterpoint to that. And just as a number right now, 714 people on World 18 Legacy only player killing. Let's see, 219 on EOC only. Free-to-play Legacy PKing, 312. Now, if we sort by player lists or player numbers entirely, I mean, Gilded Altars, that's busy, 996. World 64, oddly, 103. 77 for Dungeoneering, World 4, Group Questing. So they are up there. It's not as though they're outright overpowering, but that's a very good observation nonetheless.
Is there just six or is there eight?
Let me count for you. I have a tendency
to... I thought I heard eight.
I have a tendency to look at numbers and, you know, sometimes add numbers that are going on in my head. That's wrong, but there are eight Legacy-only worlds.
Four.
So you were right on that regard.
Well, I just didn't know. Maybe they took some away. I wasn't sure.
Yeah. So now another question I've been thinking of this entire week. Suppose someone plays old school. They've got a huge amount of time invested in old school. They've gained XP. Let's assume that they started off from level 1 as they did in old school, and they now have, say, 75 wood cutting. And let's say on your old account, you only had 60 wood cutting before old school came out. And since we are trying to, you know, bring the community together, should we look at transferring over some stats from old school to this game?
No.
For people's same accounts?
No.
That's bad.
Remember old school was created after RS3 and everything else, so most people on old school actually have a lot lower stats than they do in the real game.
Yeah.
Most of them that I've talked to, it's because, well, we're out of stuff to do in RS3 because we're already maxed out and everything.
Okay.
So unless they want to come back here and go for 120, it ain't happening. And for most people, they don't care anymore. They just want to do their own little thing. So, okay, fine.
Yeah.
They just want to do it because they can get back to 99.
And see, this is the problem with this. It goes back to what was said. People who have moved on because of these changes just don't care anymore and are invested in their old school accounts. And this is the problem with old school. It was such a knee-jerk reaction to get it out the door that it wasn't thought of that, oh, maybe let's run some actual, you know, research on what people think of our current combat system. And, oh, okay, there we go. We're going to need to make some changes to it. So that is my main problem with old school, is that it facilitated such a knee-jerk reaction. But with that being said, I know we don't like to belabor that point. We did that lots last year. I don't see how we're going to be able to bring these people back to this game and have a singular RuneScape community. It doesn't make sense to me.
Well, they've done all they've could up to this point. I think Jagex has done, despite the PK not being quite where it was, I think, and they have plans to tighten that up, because in the news article, under the future combat section, that is the most interesting part, is moving forward what they're going to do. And they talk about making changes to the wilderness and PvP minigames. So I'm interested to see what that does, and once they do that, and then get it to any sort of level that it was, they've done everything they could.
All right.
I'd say they're about 80% there to everything they could do to get these people back. And if they don't want to come back, there's nothing more you can do.
Okay. So, anybody else have anything on specifically Legacy Mode and the community before we move on to some of the other things? One thing that was rather interesting this week.
No, I'm done.
All right. Do you?
No, well, you know, just Legacy is really just mild way of combat, and we all kind of believe that Revolution is a lot better, at least it's more interactive, so Legacy is here. So only thing you need to do is actually get rid of Momentum and just replace it with Legacy, like we talked about. So I don't know why I'd even bother keeping Momentum. It's useless.
Right. I mean, Revolution is, it was the answer. It would have been the answer had they put it out from the beginning, I think.
Yep. That's right.
Just like you guys have said that before.
Yeah, and I mean 138 combat, you can go either way. I personally like the elegance of 200, but I think a fixed 138 is just fine.
I need to get another one or two levels and get 138 again. I'm 137. Jerks. Yeah, I think I need just 197 summoning. That's it.
You might, yeah, because you're maxed melee, right?
Uh-huh, 97 range, so in theory.
And what's your prayer?
One more summoning? 97.
Yeah, okay, one more then, yeah. Anyways, when they were promoting Legacy before it came out, they invoked Grumpy Cat on Twitter. I don't exactly know why Grumpy Cat would be the right, internet meme for Legacy mode, but
it was on Facebook as well.
Okay,
Jagex didn't want to do it, but grumpy people who don't really know any better started complaining.
I'm not sure what reaction they wanted. Special attacks.
Yeah, I'm not sure what response they wanted, but they got one.
I mean, what did they get on Facebook?
You don't even want to know. Let's not go down that road. It's all just right. A lot of people.
Because their tweet only got 3 replies, 22 retweets, and 31 favorites. So interaction was not high on Twitter on this tweet. But anyways, that's beside the point. So in addition to Legacy mode, we have the RuneScape Rewind, which is a 3-part video series with Mod Osborne, Mod Mark, and Mod Dean, where they talk about general changes to the game, skilling changes to the game, and of course combat changes to the game as well. So this is pretty much a video post that anybody who has been away from RS since 2012 or before will want to watch and, you know, see exactly what's been going on. And, you know, it was this video post that really solidified it in my mind. That the whole thing, as we said, about Legacy mode was to try and get people to come back.
Oh yeah, there's no hiding that was what this video series was for.
Yeah, and you know, this makes me worry a little bit, just, you know, from a monetary point of view, in that, you know, if we're trying to bring these people back to the game so badly, and you know, we had the huge blow when they remove the bots, is I am just a little bit concerned inside about the financial situation at Jagex. Is, I mean, are we doing okay? Do we need to worry? Are we bringing these people back just to, you know, bring them back to the game and give them something to play that they enjoy? Or are we bringing them back in order, you know, to raise more funds and generate more subscribers? And if we are doing it to bring more subscribers back, are we doing it because there's a potential financial issue at Jagex? That has always been on my mind since the bots disappeared.
Right. And there's no real way of knowing. I mean, it's got to be, they got to make it worth their while. I mean, they put so much effort into this.
Yeah.
I mean, they just want to maximize their return.
Yeah, hopefully that's the case. And, I mean, we don't have any internal numbers of what's going on. There's nothing outright to indicate that it could be going bad. But it's just a little worry in my mind, given, you know, the huge loss that they took on all the bot accounts and whatnot. But, anyways, check those videos out if you're brand new to RuneScape or RSBMB Update.
If you haven't listened to the podcast in several years. Oh. You watch the videos.
Yeah. Yeah. Let's just say that 15 minutes of videos will take you a lot less time to watch than a year and a half of podcasts.
Yeah.
Whee!
And, of course, the gear guide. This is depressing. You guys know why?
Mm-hmm. You tell me.
All right. Well, they put out a page called the Gear Guide where you select your combat type. So you say melee 80 to 84. Then you get a list of all the different things that you can use for that level. Now, this is the same thing that you and I have talked about ever since the Evolution of Combat came out. Aside from abilities, yes, the armor exists, but there's no variation in it. You got one choice at the higher levels to wear. The best tier is level 70 where you got all the Barrow's armor.
That's so, a good port armor.
Well, yeah, port at 85, and that's it. So, I mean, I'd really, really like to see, you know, more armor come in. And let's say you have, 90 defense, which, well, okay, you got some power armor there up there, like malevolent gear. And you look at what you need to do for this, and it's so expensive. Are people going to be interested in actually going for these high-level pieces of armor if, you know, they're just coming back to the game?
With the gear, everyone most or less has one choice. Either you can afford the Barrow's Third Age or port armor, or you're stuck wearing whatever you can afford. That's basically it.
Yeah.
So everyone who's 90 up just ends up wearing port armor because it is like one of the best armor in the game. Period.
Yeah, and I mean, that's okay, but I just like a little bit more variation. But I'm not going to continue on this point, seeing as we've talked about it many times before. Anything else on combat or legacy mode in general before we move on to the tweaks and fixes from this week?
Well, I for one hope that they give us more action bars if we're going to be doing this. Would be nice.
Fair.
I want to also say for the special attacks in EOC, maybe not make them all threshold. Because the thing is in legacy mode, obviously what most people do is just, you know, pop the special or whatever it is, hit as hard as they can, and then switch to whatever weapon and then continue the fight, right?
Right.
Kind of what they did before. It would be nice if we could have that ability too. But then again, we've never really done the whole legacy versus EOC thing. Maybe someone should try it out who's better at dueling than you and I are and see how well it goes. But, you know, EOC is, in theory, has the advantage of stunning and running and all the other stuff. But how Jagex responds to that, a totally different question.
Yeah. And I mean, the people who use legacy will be getting a way to break stuns. They already got Provoke on level 80 shields, so that that fixes that issue right there. But until they can break stuns easily, I don't think that Legacy versus EOC is a fair fight. So,
well, I think one advantage Legacy has is the food thing, where you can... Jesus Christ! One of the food where in Legacy, okay? You eat food and it doesn't matter. RS gold spammers.
Oh, okay. But yeah, and that
EOC
was a
has
food
the little advantage of stuff, and Legacy has the ability. EOC. What should we just not call it? EOC. What we should call it? Full manual or revolution or what we should call it? So just say EOC.
Normal.
Just say EOC, normal? And that can accompany manual and revolution and. Legacy is legacy, and like we said, let's just forget momentum even exists now, okay?
All right, well, basically, the advantage of normal is I can stun, I can run, I What's the other one? I have a whole bunch of abilities in my hand that can stop you from hurting me with snaring and everything else, depending on the class. And I have the ability to protect myself a little bit better. I have a lot more options instead of you just clicking and hoping for the best. Yeah, basically it. That's my little advantage. But again, I don't think anybody's going to be doing EOC versus legacy people. I think that's a whole different ball game. Most people are just going to fight monsters.
Yeah, do Slayer like they used to, and maybe go for some PvPing on the legacy only worlds, that sort of thing. All right. Anything else for you, Rickles, on combat?
No, I don't think so. I was just looking at this gear guide. It's actually pretty handy. It's a nice little loadout thing. It says all their stats and their accuracy and their prayer bonus.
It just gets a little depressing when you're at level 90. And
we need more action bars.
Yeah. If it continued on and listed everything, that'd be kind of cool. But
yeah, and to be fair, you can kind of do that on RSBNB with the equipment calculator. I don't know if there's been armor value changes aside from life points with this batch of updates, but the RSBNB equipment calculator can definitely help you out. And if you notice any issues with it, just send them along and I'll correct the stats for you so you can use your equipment that you want with them. So you can just Google for RSBNB equipment calculator and there you go.
Okay.
Alrighty, now.
One other little note. If you do use our calculators, do share with what you build. It does help us out, and I think that's what we need to do again. You know what, Shane? It's summer, isn't it?
Yeah.
Right? It's still summer. Okay, screw it. I'm going to start another EOC competition action bar contest. 5 million gold or maybe a bond. Let's just do it right here, right now. Out of the blue. How's that, Shane? Five million GP of my money.
Ooh.
And I'll run this. Let's see. I'll run this right before school starts. So let's do September 1st. There, right out of blue. No one even knew. Just came out of my head. 5 million gold.
So you're running this for a month and 2 weeks.
Heck yeah.
All right.
If this doesn't get more people putting in more action bar stuff, nothing will. But maybe I can educate a nomination in the RuneScape forum thing. Probably not.
The thing is, though, we need to update some of the stats first before we go public with that. So if anyone wants to give us a hand with stats that are wrong, contact me and I'll give you a list of current stats and you can tell if they're wrong and I'll give you a little piece of paper and you can fill them out. Well, not a piece of paper. I'll give you a virtual piece of paper that you can fill out.
All right. Shane, 5 million RS tricky gold.
All right. Sounds good. All right, and
I want to donate to my cause. Go right ahead. Oh my god, this is like the fifth gold spammer today in an hour. Jesus.
See, you bring back the old players; they bring back all the gold sellers. See what happens.
All right, report it. Now another little nice piece of news this week. There are now 20 keepsake box slots within the wardrobe interface, and any type of item can be put into any slot. So you can keepsake up to 20 items now. So this is really good for me because I keepsake a Christmas outfit for that time of year. But there have been other things I've wanted to keepsake and things I've wanted to wear that I wasn't able to do. So I can finally do this.
Yay.
So happy about this update.
Woohoo!
Yeah, that's cool.
You guys use the keepsake box at all, or?
No.
No?
I've keepsaked one thing. It was a swagger stick.
Oh, okay. Just because
I like the swagger stick.
What was that from?
That was a Squirrel of Fortune promotion.
Oh, okay, gotcha. Anyways, on that same idea, Squirrel of Fortune and Treasure Hunter, they vastly reworked the prizes. For Treasure Hunter, and they've made them a lot less useless, according to players, because if you look at what you were getting, I mean, some of this stuff on there was just pure garbage. So I'm just going to tell you guys what is removed, and then that'll give us a bit of an idea of what we've tried to accomplish with this. Slayer's Respite and other similar drinks gone. Nails, Super Compost, Tars, Skilling Crates, and no more medium stars for an orange prize. Those have all been removed. Reason for removing the Skilling Crates is that they weren't working as they wanted, and lots of players just had them stacked up in their bank. So they're going to be brought back eventually in a different way. Replacing these are Silverhawk Feathers and Spirits of Battle.
I actually like the Skilling Crates. I always used them.
Yeah, me too.
Although I do agree, the whole waiting in the bank for a while, and then I just finally said, all right, I need to get rid of this because I need the bank space. And more than once, I have bought stuff from Solo Monster for extra bank space because I was running out.
Right. Heart Freezer amulets are also back. And what appear to be back in quite large numbers, or rather added in, are divine locations. I've got divine magic trees, divine rune rocks, that sort of thing.
I love that. That's a good idea. Since you can only make a few a day, I mean, to actually have a couple, it's a good idea.
We all have a daily gathering limit of how much we can gather from them, but it's just nice to be able to get these, and, you know, maybe you don't want to work for it and go grab the right kind of energy. Sure. So it's a nice little boost.
Yep.
And there's also a new rare group containing desirable tree seeds.
It's good.
Tree seeds. Yay. Mm-hmm.
Anything from the release notes for this week that jump out at you?
Nothing really jumped out at me. Maybe I glance through it one more time. Maybe something will pop out this time.
How about you, Rickles?
Anything jump out for you?
Don't see anything too interesting.
Well, they made some changes to HTML5, although that was supposed to go live since God Dawn of Time. Hey, that rhymed.
And as we've mentioned before, that is in a holding pattern. So, quick presets can now be accessed by pressing 1 and 2 on your keyboard while in your bank.
Woo!
That's the only one that really jumped out at me this week. It was a pretty quiet week, but good one nonetheless.
Yeah, cool.
All right.
Okay.
Polling update. This is amusing. Read the poll.
Oh. Okay, let me reopen that up. Oh, shoot. Hold on, I can't do it right now. Okay. Polling update. Seasonal high score. Which one would you like to know more? And potatoes picked. It's at 19%. Someone's idea of a freaking joke. Actually, right now, whose number place is herbs being grown for that month, which I think Shane would like.
Yeah. And, let me just say that I recall a long time ago or numerous times saying that, you know, oh, maybe a good seasonal high score might be how many herbs I've planted. So I wonder if I influence this in any way.
Well, I mean, it's just an actual one that people would care about. Nobody cares how many potatoes you picked. You know.
Some people may. I mean, we had almost 20% vote for us, so someone did.
You know what? That's true. It's kind of scary.
No, someone's idea was a sick joke.
But yeah, I wish they would be more practical things.
Yeah.
Like herbs grown. I mean, it's just stupid to have how many imp kills. That's dumb.
Yeah. And rune ore mine, 13%. Wilderness agility lapse, 13%. And pest control games, 19%.
That's a good one to add in.
Yeah, well, it's looking like it's going to be the herbs grown. So this will be coming out in September, so I'll have to make a concerted effort at that. I wonder how many herb runs one could do in a day and how many herbs one could pull. Like I said before,
I don't know,
but
I have a feeling you'd find out.
You are the farming expert.
Yeah, like I said, I had a
job.
I had a record of 72 herbs in a run about 3 weeks ago. So have to see if I can get that being duplicated with regular occurrence. But I have a feeling I was really lucky there. All right.
I've been averaging roughly 6 or 7 herbs per patch.
Yeah, that's what you do with just super compost and whatnot. It goes up dramatically with green fingers and the potion, which I have taken into using. So, yeah.
Is that the juju one?
Yes, it is.
Okay.
So next up.
Bad juju.
Next up from Jagex this week is one of their podcasts on the combat system. And I figured, you know, since Legacy came out, we might as well give this a shout out. And I listened to this one and provided some insight into the combat system and, you know, developing Legacy and where they're going with it. I hate to harp on this fact, but some interesting things did come out of it, such as one of the things that what the JMOD wants is they want the action bar on the old Legacy interface.
Okay.
So the question I have for you two is, would you use an action bar on the old style of UI?
Why?
No, that's...
That kind
of
defeats the purpose of Legacy.
Right.
Yeah, and
totally.
It undermines the whole new interface system. That just, you know, I kind of wish.
Why don't we just make an option that you can flip on and off for everything? Just everything. Option on and off. Just throw everything out there. If you want a fixed window, go ahead. If you want a fixed EOC window, sure. Just do it. Just have the whole action bar take up the screen. Just go. Just whatever you want.
You know, I was talking to Earth this week, and he was talking about, oh, yeah, wouldn't it be nice if I could toggle between my special attack, you know, being for Ceridol and Godsword, doing it the old way and doing it the new way? And then he points me to a forum posting today where I forget which JMOD it is. He basically said that, you know, oh, okay, we're actually looking at doing this in a couple of weeks. And the response from both of us is this called Togglescape now? Like, we're already going down that path.
It's turning out but... that, yeah.
And, I mean, I came down really hard on a person in one of the supplemental videos about wanting a toggle for between 150% protection prayers, but... who knows? Maybe that'll end up happening. So.
Let's just toggle 138 and 200. This shows up. Let's just toggle everything. Just everything toggles. Everything.
Yeah, and I mean... I'm going to say this is a problem with Android on the phone. Is that on the phones is that, you know, there's just so many options on there that... it creates a kind of a rough experience around the edges compared to the Apple ecosystem. And for that reason, I just wish Jagex would pull an Apple on some of these things, you know? But I don't know. I'm done. I don't want to talk about this kind of toggling stuff for combat anymore for a long, long time. We're done, and I mean, maybe we can achieve some peace in the game now.
Yeah, maybe I'll write an article about it. Well, we'll see.
I'm not proofreading that one.
Oh.
Anyways, Treasure Hunter Blast from the Past. So if you missed any of the past promotional items on Treasure Hunter, you can get them. So this is going back way, way a long time ago. So the horns, the beach balls, the ice cream cone hats, the Queen's Gear, Galish Mask, Tribal Tattoos, Summer Rings. So this is 2 years ago, pretty much. So seeing reruns on there is interesting and probably a good thing to do in case you're away for those. So I'm glad they're doing this. How about you guys?
Yeah, it's a good idea. I mean, it's nice to see that, you know, as long as it's been out, how long Treasure Hunter and Squeal have been out? 2 years
since
now?
Since 2012. Jeez. Yep.
Whoa. Oh, God. Okay. I mean, it's just good that they have built up an inventory of things that they can switch around and, you know, fluctuate between. It's good to see. And it's good that they can have cycles like this.
We won.
Okay.
Yeah, but whatever. It's Squeal. It's just Squeal or Treasure Hunter. Who cares?
Woo! Woo! Extra spin for the win! Interesting!
All right. What's next?
And then we killed that goblin and he had a terrible, terrible time.
No, in the show. What's next?
Oh.
Bonds. Come to RuneFest. For free bonds. Well, no, for free.
For free with bonds. With bonds.
Sorry.
Free bonds for everyone.
Actually, they may do that if you think about it.
Well, they might.
Yeah. So let me just run some numbers here for you guys. A bond is currently worth 6.1 million GP. And if you want to go to RuneFest and you just want to pay for your ticket.
Did it go up? The price?
No, about the same.
Price of a bond.
They're down a bit.
Surprisingly steady.
Yeah. 35 bonds per RuneFest ticket. So at 6.1 million GP, 35 times that gives you how much GP here? Let's see. Yeah, roughly
213.
213 mil. Okay. That's expensive. I don't have that kind of money in there. Double that if you want two tickets. You can also use a bond to pay for a hotel room for 55 bonds.
That's just weird. This is getting
55 bonds.
Pretty weird.
That's a lot of bonds.
Yeah, and that's for one night. If you want two nights, it's going to be 110 bonds. If you want two RuneFest tickets plus the twin room for one night, that's 125 bonds.
So
for each night,
a 2-night stay is about 660 gold.
A lot more than that.
No, 660 million. Sorry, forgot the mil.
Whoops. And if you want the tickets and the room for two nights, that'll cost you 180 bonds, which is an astoundingly very large number of 1 billion.
There are three
and 98 million GP.
Hey, it's a good way to get rid of all that extra cash, all the 0.5% of the RS economy has.
So, I got a question. So, the wealth evaluator said I was valued at 1.1 billion. So, can I just say, give me this amount of GP, then go buy these bonds, buy 180 bonds, and I can go to RuneFest because the wealth evaluator says I can?
Well, remember, you got to find a way to get there.
Yes.
Does it pay for the travel?
Yeah. I'll just start swimming across the Atlantic, right?
Well, you have to drive there first, Shane, to the coast.
Yeah, that's right. Okay, and that's across Canada. And
so unless you're going to get some wheels, it ain't happening.
Yeah, and that's probably a better way to just fly there.
And I'm on the Pacific. I'm on the wrong side of the ocean, so if I were to swim across, I have to swim pretty far. I'll have to swim around the Panama Canal and then come back up through the Atlantic.
So
bonds are $5, right?
Yes, that's correct.
So that's $900 for two tickets and a hotel room
for two nights.
900 real dollars.
And considering the RuneFest ticket is £99, which let's see, what is that in US dollars?
110, give or take. We'll just go with
99
that.
Pounds.
Yeah,
maybe
that's not 50.
Dollars is 169 US dollars, so 900 minus 169, 731 US dollars per room. So $731 for two nights, which I don't know if that's expensive or just normal in London. 731 divided by two, per night, so 365 a night. I'd imagine that's probably pretty cheap for London.
Well, keep in mind, for those who have so many bonds and don't know what to do with, it's a nice deal.
Yeah, surprising they don't let you pay for airfare with this as well.
Yeah, that ain't happening. You know how many bonds it would need in order to go one round trip?
They'd need to partner up with British Airways or something.
Oh, what was it going to be? It's going to be, okay, roughly, depending if you're coming from the States, roughly $1,000 all around. Give or
take,
it sounds
about
probably $1,000.
Mm-hmm.
So, yeah, let's see. That would, yeah, you need about like 1,000 bonds to do that. Maybe they could do a discount of 900 bonds for everything.
So think, give me a U.S. city that's rather central where you need to do a connection.
New York.
No, not New York. That's
either Atlanta, Chicago.
Do Chicago. Chicago's a big hub.
Okay.
And you're more like fly through Chicago and then head toward the East Coast and you are from Atlanta.
You can get... Oh, okay, that's not the right day. Hang on. Oh, boy. Okay, Google can't do it that far in advance. But it looks like... Okay, let's just... September, okay. Yeah, it looks like around British Airways, around 1900... round trip from Chicago to London. So, that's probably why you can't do this with bonds, but...
You need to do some discounts.
Yeah, it's interesting to see them doing this, I think.
You know what I think they should do?
What's that?
For every bond that you use to book a room... you get $5 off the whole $5 off this ask. No, you get 50 cents off the asking price. That's basically what it equates to, because it's cheaper for you to buy the freaking room than it is to buy the bonds to pay.
Well, we don't know that. I mean, I don't even know where this is putting you up. It could be some five star luxury suite thing.
I don't see them booking a suite.
No, it's the Grange Tower Bridge Hotel in London that you're getting with this. All right, so when is RuneFest? Let's just see what
October, I believe.
Yeah, is that right? Okay. All right, so let's just say October. Let's say October, book for the 10th and...
October 11th.
Okay, so that's perfect right there. So one room, that's good. Now on this exact thing, let's see how much this room actually costs at this place. £136.68 per night, Great British pounds. So let's see what that is. So £136.68, and in US dollars, that is 233 per night. So 233 divided by 5, that's 46 bonds. So it's cheaper to actually purchase the hotel using real money if you have it available.
Yeah, I mean.
But then again, if you have so many bonds, so much gold in things.
Right.
Burn some of it away, right?
Better sell that party hat if you want to go to RuneFest.
We do remember the Well of Wellness. Remember? The Well of Wellness or Well of Goodness, whatever it was called.
Well of Goodwill.
Yeah, so we know how many people donated into that. So people have money to burn.
Oh, yeah, they do.
Lord knows they'll have 6 stacks of maxed out gold GP in the exchange.
All right. Well... that's it for RS stuff this week. Behind the scenes video for next week. Iraxor, the Arachnid duoing boss. The BTS video is available for that, and apparently will be coming out in 2 weeks. So look forward to that. Any other RS stuff before I move us on to the questions?
I don't think so.
Alrighty. Well, this week's first audio question is from Pernasius.
G'day, Shane, Tricky, and Rickles. My question this week is in regards to the prayer boost that certain weapons and armor give. I recently upgraded my Drygor maces to longswords because of the greater damage the longswords give. The sword has 1102 damage as opposed to the mace, which is only 864, but the mace is faster and has a prayer bonus of 9. Do you think the greater damage is better, or is the slightly faster speed and prayer bonus more of an advantage? I hadn't ever checked it out before, what the prayer bonus exactly was. When I first started playing, I was told that it was a percentage breakdown that slowed your prayer drain. However, looking into it further recently, I've realized it's not that easy. Is the prayer bonus on certain armor and weapons really worth it, or are you better off just going for maximum damage output? Thanks again for the great podcast, and happy scaping to you all.
This question got me thinking, but anyone want to take a stab at it?
Rickles, why don't you go first?
Well, I don't know if prayers has been changed a lot with the changes here with Legacy being released, but damage output is always better than prayer in my book.
Yeah, I'd actually go in the same boat here. And there's reasons for this. Prayer renewal potion. Super prayer potions. Reverence aura that you can use to restore prayer points. All those things together really do make prayer drain at a much, much lower rate. And, you know, before prayer renewal came out and before the combat system changed, we actually did know how to calculate prayer drain, but that's something that kind of went by the wayside a bit. Given the prayer bonus and just the amount of damage difference between the mace and the longsword, I'm going to have to go with Rickles and say that I'm going to prefer the damage bonus over the prayer boost. And, you know, this kind of got me thinking that, you know, maybe, just maybe, I should do the same thing and upgrade to longswords as well.
You heard it here, folks. Buy all the longswords and sell them off when the price goes up.
Well, maybe, but... that's just lovely. Just my kind of day. It looks as though Chrome forgot my quick searches, which is just lovely. But anyways, just to give you guys an idea, main hand, Drygor Longsword and Rapier, 1102 damage versus 864 for the mace. So yeah, maybe I will consider upgrading, considering the price difference between mace and longsword is only about 6 million now. And they both took a dive in the last 4 days. Wow.
Wow. Yeah.
I'm going to do that, I think. Yeah. What about the rapier? Do you guys have Drygors?
No. You're the only one that has Drygors.
Oh,
I just have Chaotix.
Okay, how about you, Rickles?
I don't even have Chaotix, so okay. That lets you know where I'm at.
Well, I will be upgrading to longswords then. Rapier, that is 60 million for the main one. And let's see, how much faster is the rapier compared to the longsword?
It's a little slower, but you get more power.
3 seconds on the rapier. Longsword is 3 seconds, so apparently it's the same. And mace, 2.4 seconds. So the mace attacks a bit faster, apparently. Okay, more research is going to have to go into this on a DPM basis then. Based on, you know, if the mace is better, even though it attacks a bit more, and compared to the longsword. So I'm going to look into that for you guys, and we'll see. But the question is, do you want to attack more, or do you want to hit higher? I don't know. And this is the same sort of thing with two-handed versus dual-wielding. Do you want to hit faster, or do you want to hit harder.
Yep.
Where do you guys fit on dual wielding versus two hand?
I like two hand, personally. I like faster.
Okay. Tricky.
Only time we really use prayer is when we do soul split or, you know, turmoil or anguish. And we kind of know it's a difference, but not a huge, huge difference. I go with more damage because then you'll kill them faster. I go with more accuracy and more damage if possible.
So you don't dual wield then, you just go for AoE two hand.
I use dual wielding when I'm slaying monsters that are relatively weak because I find it's faster, but things that clump up, I try to use two-handed weapon.
Okay.
A little more AoE. Especially Dagonath. Ooh, it's so much fun to use two-handers against Dagonath.
It is fun. It is.
People make fun of it. Like, it sucks. Like, no. Remember, they're weak to slash, and you're using a slashing weapon with a god sword.
And, you know, this all comes back together of the joy of evolution of combat for me and probably you two here as well. I'm going to go get 95 yes. Slayer. Okay.
Oh, okay.
Thank you, Parnassius.
I'll co-op with you whenever you feel like it.
Don't let me die, okay?
Hey, I died myself. That's because I wasn't paying attention.
Alrighty.
But I got my revenge on X-Blade.
Alrighty, one of you guys take the text question, please.
Rickles, that's a guess. You do it. I'm lazy. Giggity.
Okay. This is from MageGuy08. With Legacy now released, which combat system will you all be focusing on? I plan on using Legacy for a while to see what I prefer killing or they're compared to EOC. At the same time, I must say that the Legacy UI is actually quite nice and lag-free for me, and I prefer using that interface over the current EOC interfaces. Will any of you be using the same magic?
I think we kind of subliminally answered this one earlier in the show, and the answer to that for me is a no.
Yeah, it's a no from me as well. It's weird to go back, and I'm used to EOC, and EOC is fun, and it's nice, and it works.
EOC.
All right, and I assume you won't as well then. Right? You won't be
EOC.
Going
back? It's just
okay.
Fun for me.
Now... I mean, it seems like a blanket no, no, no here, but I do want to say that I think that there is a way of addressing this issue pertaining to the UI for people, you know, who want something that looks maybe a bit like the old UI, but has a perhaps a modern flair to it. And my answer for that is if I was in charge, what I would do is, you know, rather than have the blue skin like we have right now, I would offer also the brown skin as a way of using that with the new interface system so that you can have brown-looking windows in much the same way you do on the legacy system so that rather than blue, it's brown. And, I mean, you get kind of the same effect there, and it becomes customizable. Granted, it's not exactly fully like legacy, but it might provide for an interesting look on the UI, so who knows? Something like that could end up happening in the future.
Hmm. Yeah, or just a hue adjustment in general. Just that you could go through the spectrum. That'd be neat, but probably be issues with that.
Mm-hmm. That's true. So. Alrighty. I think that pretty much covers everything from MageGuy here, so... as always, if any of you guys who have asked questions do have follow-ups, submit another question next week or get in contact with me in the game, you know, and just tell me what you think of the question, and you know, maybe if you have a follow up, we can do it there. If you want to pose it to everyone, we can do that as well. So, thank you both of you for your questions. And if you want to send in an audio question, just email them to questions@rsbnb.com or leave them on Skype with the username rsbnbupdate, and we'll get to them whenever they come in on the show. Oh, Whee! Right. I also forgot that I have another question here from earlier that... Or no, never mind. This was last week's question. I was a week behind. I'm sorry.
Mm-hmm. Aw.
Yeah, I'm sorry. I remember seeing a Twitter question, but then I remembered that we did that last week, so I kind of messed up in my mind there. But Twitter also works for questions. Just tweet them at RSBNB staff.
Okay, so we have... tech news! Oh my god! Google's in the news again.
Yeah, and basically this is posing the question, or rather something an analyst said, is that within the next 10 years, Google could become a $1 trillion company. $1 trillion. Yeah. You know, they do this through... acquiring other companies and generating ad revenue and just in general growing their usership base and growing the amount of funds they take in through advertising. So $1 trillion company? What do you guys think? Is that something interesting? Is Google becoming one of the biggest corporations of all time?
Yeah, they've been growing kind of scarily past. I mean, in theory... if more people use Google Fiber and, you know, after they get the infrastructure and everything else, and in theory more competition happens with the ISP, they have to lower price. The second they lower price and they expand it, can you just imagine it's – I checked it. It was $70 per person to use Google Fiber. Where, let's see, what, 3 million people in the U.S.? No. Mm-hmm. 3 million. Gee, that's – no. That's
no, that's too little. You're off by a certain number of factors there. That's the second time that's happened today.
Dude. You know what? Screw it. I'm not going to answer that. yeah, so, you know, if a good portion of the country actually uses Google Fiber and drops Comcast and AT&T and Time Warner, they can make that $1 trillion just from us. And the whole satellite internet and everything else, you can only imagine what happens after that.
Yeah, and I mean, this raises the question, is are people comfortable with Google being worth so much? This question was actually, or this tech news with that question was actually sent to me by Duke from Informer. He showed this article to me, and I thought it'd make an interesting tech news story, just, you know, because we're always talking about Google Fiber and whatnot and how that is the way of the future. So if they're gobbling up companies and, you know, expanding Google Fiber out, like you said, $70 per household, then yeah, sure, it's definitely possible. And do we feel comfortable with a company worth $1 trillion with all our data?
Am I the only one that's surprised they're not worth $1 trillion yet?
No.
I mean, how much is information worth? Billion. I mean, really? I mean,
well,
depends it's worth as much as
the highest bidder. Close.
It's worth as much as the highest bidder.
Their market cap is only $389 billion right now. And yes, I said only. Mainly just because we're talking about the trillion mark here. $389 billion. Compare that to Apple, $569 billion, so they could do it first. Microsoft, $369. You know, not many people probably think of Google and Microsoft being worth relatively the same market cap-wise now, do they? Well, so, I don't know. It's a matter of if it feels comfortable or not, and what this ultimately means for the internet and information. personally, I'm going to give Google the benefit of the doubt until I see something negative happening with it. I don't know about you guys, but that's the way I'm going to approach this, should it ever happen.
Yeah, they have a fairly good track record, I would say.
Yeah. Okay. I'd like to move on from that, if that's all right with you guys, to something else that has been kind of controversial on the internet in the past, and that is Google Plus is stopping you, forcing you from using your real name online. You know, previously you would have to set up a Google Plus account if you wanted to comment on YouTube, and that needed to be associated with your real name. And, you know, they said this was in an effort, you know, to cut down on trolling and make it more civil. And, you know, people, the negative side of this said, no, I mean, it's the internet. I don't want to be known as who I am. So, you know, you can paraphrase on Google Plus, you know, so it'll say your first name and then your last initial. That is doable. So it's not like you're putting your full name out there, but still some people feel uncomfortable about that. So I guess the question is to you guys, real name or no?
No. That is the most annoying thing about Google. Why would I give my real name? If I didn't want to give my real name on Facebook, why would I give it here now? I don't even have Facebook. You know, I mean, remember, this is the day where people can find each other very easily. So just imagine you type something on YouTube, made a comment on YouTube, someone hates you, and suddenly they just do, you know, reverse search for your name and everything else, and suddenly pops out everything about you. They can already do that now. It's called the NSA. And just think about that. Suddenly you're going out, and everybody knows who you are, what you did, everything you said. It's like, oh, that's not fun.
I mean, I realize that's not something to laugh about, but okay, so you're in the camp of no name. How about you, Rickles? Do you want a real name on YouTube or no?
I don't really mind it. I mean, all the information's out there anyway, so although Shane, you're pretty sneaky. Yours probably isn't out there. But I mean I don't really care one way or another.
Yeah, and I mean, that's something I've always thought, is if I wanted to become invisible and disappear online, how would I have to do it, and how many places would I have to do it? I know that number in my head, I know where to go, and I know how to do it within 5 minutes, so I can disappear if I need to. But
I don't doubt that.
On the same vein, I really do think that I was happy about this when I heard of it, because I think that if there's a real name associated behind something, you're less likely to use this as a personal attack. Because the thing I always take with the internet is, would you say what you're typing online to a person in face-to-face conversation? And if the answer is no, you probably shouldn't be typing it. And that's why I like the real name feature of Google+. I mean, granted, people like YouTube when it was on its own, so I understand why they're doing that, but I'm just saying I didn't mind the way it was before, so.
Mm-hmm. Fine, whatever.
All right.
Privacy. You don't believe in privacy anyway. Okay. No, you don't. All right, third, Microsoft's going to cut 18,000 jobs because Nokia sucks.
I don't think the story says that, but it is effectively why they're doing it, because of Nokia and all the employees that they acquired when they bought that company. 18,000 jobs, that's 14% of the workforce.
Mm-hmm. Because no one's buying Nokia phones because they are running Windows.
Yeah, and I mean, it comes down to the question, are people buying Windows phones, and are Windows phones actually ever going to improve to a point where, you know, people are actually wanting to use them as much as they are wanting to use, say, an Android phone? Because let's face it, Android has the market share because it's the cheap solution that everybody can afford and get into if they want. So, I don't know. I mean, I think you kind of have to do this after you acquire a company, because Nokia engineers aren't exactly, you know, the right fit for Microsoft, at least not all of them. So something like this had to happen. And, I mean, you just got to worry about where this is being done. Are these jobs being cut in the U.S.? And if that's the case, what does that say?
They're cut all over the world.
Okay, well, that's
all over the world. A good chunk of it's going to be cut in California. Some of them's going to be in Europe as well. A little bit of Asia. But mostly, things around like Eastern Europe area is where they're going to cut some of it. But a nice chunk is also coming from the States.
All right. Well, that's not too bad. Everywhere. Like, it could be a lot worse. Well, I mean, I don't know what you expect these people to do, these 18,000 people in Microsoft that are deemed as excess.
Tell them to work for Tesla.
All right.
It says that one of the major victims is going to be their Xbox Entertainment Studios, which is working on a filmed version of their Halo video game.
They've been working on that for years.
Right, yeah.
And if history has going to be proven correctly, video game movies have never been good.
Oh, no, it'd probably be terrible. But it's just, there's a lot of, in the video game industry, of bloated companies. So it's not surprising that they were making cuts in that sector.
And, I mean, when you think about it, the tech booms of past are gone, and you probably don't need that many employees in that regard then.
Cool.
Anyways, we kind of went on for a while on that one, but hopefully everyone enjoyed that. So I'll say that's it for tech news. And I want to talk about the skill of the month right now, specifically the divination skill of the month, and we have what appears to be a three-way race going on between Flash, Tim, and Sorensen57. Currently, Flash is in first place with 12.5 million XP. Second place is Tim, also with 12.5 million XP, off by a very small margin of 5,000 XP. Too close to
Which
call
in theory,
here.
And somebody will pass that by tonight.
Yep. Sorensen, 8.2 million. So he's also in position there to continue on, and a bunch of people in the middle echelon as well. So very interesting skill of the month here. Yeah. And I think we're seeing this because divination is a primary skill and it's easier to train than the past ones have been.
Yes, I would say that. It's interesting. Flash and Tim have an average XP gain difference of only 300 a day.
So they're pretty much doing the same thing then.
That's scary.
So someone can know life a little bit more. Fourth place has been interesting. It's a race between Mage Guy and Iron Man. It's about 700k difference.
That's a 4 million XP difference. Or, right, for fourth place. You're
fourth.
Right. I screwed up there. I screwed up there.
Okay, don't blame me next time when I mess up on numbers.
Okay. Alrighty. So, skill of the month, continue training divination. Week and a bit left. Yes, the supplemental. I did something different this week with that, in that I took a clip from the previous RSBNB update episode just because we had Uncle Dano on, and you know, he speaks with such wisdom. He had some really, really good stuff to say about legacy mode, and specifically for those of you guys out there, you know, who might have some doubts about legacy mode, either way, if you're a proponent of EOC or you're using legacy almost exclusively, this is something you should definitely listen to and forward off to your friends who are on the fence as well about legacy if they want to come back to the game. So that's on YouTube. YouTube.com/RSBNBstaff.
Ah,
Yes, some very good
achievements
one.
Of the week. Let's alternate on these, shall we? I'll start us off by...
Hold on. Okay, sorry.
Everything okay?
We're good, yes.
Alrighty.
He's opening it back up.
Ah, gotcha. CompSci, 99 crafting on the 17th.
Imperialist got 99 attack on July 16th.
And we have Poison Nova got 99 rune crafting July 14th.
And everyone's favorite, or maybe least favorite, Brian Tran, 99 magic on July 13th.
Why least favorite? The Cop got 99 constitution on July 13th.
And Tim 2 got 99 divination.
Gee, July... really? 12 million XP?
Yeah.
Good job, everyone. And yeah, it's not surprising to see 99s for divination there. So, good job.
Yeah, very good, guys.
It's time for the pick of the week. I believe one of you guys has a pick.
Yes, it's Jagex's other new game that is in beta mode. This is the Transformer Universe, licensed by Bandai in order to make this, and is the Transformer Universe MMO. I can't remember how to log in. Let me see. Here we go. Yoink. So anyway, this was just as Jagex's little other pet game that they're trying out. It's as you would expect, in beta. So me and Mike tried it out a little bit. It's, you know, if you know the Transformers genre, you would know what to expect, and that's about it. So, and me and him tried it out, and it was okay.
What do you do in the game?
Kill stuff.
Oh, okay.
Think of it as a way of, you can play through browser or through the client. You play through the browser, it's a little bit slower to load everything up, but in a way, that's kind of like how your first time playing RS is. And you go around Earth from the beginning, and you just go around, do some mini missions, and fight and kill stuff and repeat. It is a little repetitive, but considering this is the beta, we weren't expecting like huge changes right off the bat. But right. You know, give it a try. Support Jagex's other little projects.
Yeah, and I mean, completely
and it's free
to play.
Right now.
It'd be interesting to see what they end up charging for this. I think if it's in the same league as RS, or if it's maybe more expensive. Because they can do it because, you know, it's a different group entirely.
I don't think they can make it more expensive if their main target audience is who I think it's going to try and be. But they need some real help trying to get people to play the game first and stay with it. They do have a huge recruit a friend campaign thing going on, get double experience and everything else like that. But, you know, give it a try. Call myself Oath Keeper.
Oath Keeper?
That's Oath.
Oath
oh,
Keeper.
Okay.
Oath.
Like the Quaker Oats guy?
I said Oath.
Oh. Sorry.
Yes. Oath Keeper.
I'm just trying to picture you as the Quaker Oats thing. But
who, Rickles or me?
You!
I'm the wrong skin color.
You're the Oat Keeper, not me.
I said Oath.
All right. Okay.
I am not a goat.
I didn't say goat either.
Goats eat oats.
I wonder if you can do that on Goat Simulator.
I don't know. I never bother with it. You like the fact that I can make Shane laugh almost on cue?
It is. It's the best part of the show.
Okay. All right. So anything else last about Transformers?
Transform and roll out.
Shame okay, it, so, Rickles, what have you been up to this week?
Not much. Working. That's the thing. In Endgame, I've been doing ports, like always.
Yes!
I got the legs part of Death Lotus through the ports. That's exciting. Always good to get new stuff through the ports. So that's about it.
Alrighty.
Answering all the Rhino questions.
Oh, yeah. Those are always fun to do. And, you know, I mean, you learn so much about them, as we said last week with Uncle Dano. So highly recommend anybody who didn't watch last week's show to go have a listen. Specifically about the rhinos and being a real-life conservationist.
It's fantastic. So, very good.
Like today's question, though, it's kind of stupid in a way.
Oh, yeah, right.
It's true, but it's kind of dumb how they try to word it. I had such a nice week with ports. I actually finally got my 35,000 chime combat and morale captains after waiting for almost 2 months for them to pop out. So happy. And you know what's funny? On the third day, I had a 35,000 seafaring captain. I was like, oh, I don't need you right now, though. I already got mine. Would have loved to have you earlier, but too late. And so, yes. And I actually got extremely lucky again that throughout the last couple of days, I actually got 2 multi-trait port missions for my captain. So both of my new captains now have multi-traits with them, which is a very, very good trait to have. And wow. Now good. I'm leveling them up.
That's good.
I also ended up getting 98 Slayer on ports.
And just make sure you don't get 99 mining. Accidentally.
Why? Oh, that. I don't know. It'll take me a while.
Okay.
But then again, who knows? I wasn't even expecting to get a 98 Slayer. It just happened.
Yep. Lots of things just happen like that. Anything else? But, you know,
I did some dungeons today. I got 110 dungeoneering this week, which is good.
Nice. Good job.
Cool.
Going for the 120?
I just wanted to dungeoneer. That was it.
Oh, okay. Well, that's fair enough. Anyways, as for me this week on RS, really not that much. Just doing the farming runs and everything. Finished up my grapes. Over the past 2 weeks, I planted 100 grape seeds. So I've been becoming a wino, as Uncle Dano said last week. So pretty much just the same thing.
You're a wine.
Throughout.
You're a wine. Yeah. Connoisseur. Yeah.
Yes.
Big
yes.
difference.
Yeah, that's true. But aside from that, I mean, I was asked this question as well. I honestly forget the good soul's name who asked me this question about what I do on RS because he was listening to the show. I basically said, you know, I'm just doing farming runs at this point, and there's nothing I can do sustained on RS because my levels are high, and, I mean, I want to wait for the Elf City to do skilling stuff. So kind of just waiting for that to happen, too. So, anyways, that pretty much sums it up for me, I think. Oh, and we fixed the combat calculator this week. It displays to level 138 now. That was a bit of an exercise in itself of, doing
trying to recalculate everything.
Yeah, making sure it got done properly and everything like that. So you can just enter.
You sound bitter, Shane.
Yeah, because I was doing this and I could have approached it in a much different way. That would have been a lot quicker. And then I accidentally pressed some wrong buttons and things weren't working. My development environment in Firefox decided to give up. I had a problem with my local web server to test things on. So it was just a really annoying endeavor. But it's updated now. That is me. I am good for this week. So thank you, Lord Rickles, for joining us. And we'll be back next week for what is hopefully a week of RuneScape without incident, and that we don't need to, you know, worry about, oh, are we holding the community together or anything like that. So with that being said, thank you everybody for listening. Thank you both of you guys for being here on the show. You guys are always good to us, and we'll see you next week.
Remember, see you guys. 5 million gold competition, my money.
Oh, yeah. Bye, guys.